The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by ANT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
And did you know Florida is in the international news today?
I missed the international news.
Well, the headline is toxic algae bloom causes Florida state of emergency. I know we talked about that, but it was off the air yesterday, wasn't it, Janet?
It's very, very interesting because the fact that you say we are in international news, this does have international implications because the potential spread of this algae out into the ocean is very real and very dangerous.
Well, and it's funny, it's on the international news. I'm looking at BBC, and they have it. They say Governor Rick Scott issued the executive order in four counties after samples taken from the St. Lucie River tested positive for toxins. So it's not just the algae overgrowth that's the issue. It's what's contained in that overgrowth.
Well, what are the substances that created this overgrowth of algae? And certainly we do understand it is toxic accumulation of chemicals, and those chemicals very much the runoff from agricultural endeavors in Florida that drain into the Lake Okeechobee, and then ultimately when the level of Okeechobee gets too high, that water is drained into the St. Lucie Canal and River and ultimately into the ocean. It took a very long time for the Florida governor and the people responsible for water quality to act, because this has been going on for weeks.
Well, here's what they say. The green slime appeared when polluted water was discharged from Lake Okeechobee to prevent flooding. And this toxic algae is harmful to plants, animals, and humans. And it goes on to say the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers began discharging fresh water from the lake more than 2 weeks ago. So, you'd think they'd be aware that this could happen if they did that.
Dr. Slavin, this is not the first time this has happened. The magnitude of this water release is the issue, and certainly the level of toxic accumulations is very much an issue, but this happens year after year after year after year, and nothing is done to put any restraints on the amount and choices of chemicals that are used in agriculture in the areas north of Lake Okeechobee.
And here's what they say. Lake Okeechobee is the largest freshwater body in Florida. Is contaminated with runoff that includes human waste, animal feed, and fertilizer. And what they did was they sent millions of gallons of this nutrient heavy water into the river and triggered the growth of blue-green algae on some of Florida's southern rivers and beaches. And there are a lot of hazardous toxins in there. Janet, do people fish in Lake Okeechobee?
I truly don't know the answer to that, but the St. Lucie Estuary is an incredibly important area with regard to fishing. So closer to the ocean, it has a mix of salt and fresh water. And that essentially is almost like a nursery for aquatic life. And when you poison that water, the natural cycle replenishing stocks of a variety of different types of marine life, you really disrupt the ecology of that area. And the thing is, as that water moves out into the ocean, that environment is destroyed as well.
Now, apparently, the state of Florida doesn't have any control over this. Governor Scott blamed the polluted waters on water storage limitations and the federal government.
That's not exactly so. This you said what the runoff from Lake Okeechobee contained, and it was agricultural chemicals, it was animal feed, and so we understand where that comes from, and it is the agricultural areas north of Lake Okeechobee. Tell me that the state of Florida has no control over what chemicals are put into the ground and into the water in that area of Florida. I don't believe that they don't have any control.
Well, they say here that the federal government needs to make the repairs to the Herbert Hoover Dyke, and that's part of the problem. And then Senator Marco Rubio called on President Obama to declare a federal state of emergency to release funds to help businesses affected by the algae. And both Rubio and Senator Nelson have also urged the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to stop the flow of water between the river and Lake Okeechobee.
Heartbreaking when you see the videos of this algae overgrowth. To call it blue-green algae is to understate it by a million times. It is very, very thick. It is heavy. It is almost solid. It is overwhelming, that area.
Well, and here's what you have to know, too. It's what's involved in this pollution is sewage waste combined with toxic waste from various industries, and this is what they're dumping into the water. And the sewage, they call it biosolids. It's treated waste, but that doesn't make it any safer. And they say that according to one of the engineers, Class B biosolids have been placed around the farmlands of Lake Okeechobee for up to 50 years, and it will take another 50 years to clean it up. So this is, I think, a problem that's being understated.
Well, the very fact that when you and I discussed it yesterday and there was nothing on the news in Broward and Dade County, so the local news was not covering this. It is an environmental disaster. I am not overstating it to tell you how much of a disaster it is. And yes, to say that this has been going on for 50 years, indeed. But the intensity, the magnitude, the toxicity is increasing year by year by year. And for Senator Rubio, Senator Nelson, and Governor Scott to pass the buck, so to speak, that it is a federal issue, it is a Florida issue. And that needs to be addressed. Do they need federal support at this point? Absolutely, because the magnitude of it is so huge.
And, you know, it's not just about not looking pretty, all this algae. It really is a serious health problem, and more serious than I think most people understand it to be, because it's not being mentioned much.
It is killing fields. Unfortunately, the fields happen to be water, but it is, humans exposed to this algae will become very sick. And the marine life, the flora along the banks of the St. Lucie estuary will be killed off because of the intensity of this toxic exposure. And then what organization does not get a pass is the Army Corps of Engineers. Let's talk about the Army Corps of Engineers in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. It was dikes that failed there. And they're calling for federal assistance to adjust the dam in Lake Okeechobee because the level of the lake was going so high it was about to overwhelm that dam. Well, the Army Corps of Engineers has known this for years, and nothing has been done. And the citizens of the areas affected by this, they have been very proactive in demanding assistance, but nothing has been done by the state of Florida.
Well, exposure to this toxic algae include shortness of breath, congestion in your lungs, mucus production, because that's your body's defenses against it, skin rashes, and other respiratory problems. And additionally, because there's a link with the dumping of biosolids here, you have antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are developing. And a recent ABC News report says maybe that's why you see serious infections afflicting Florida inhabitants exposed to this algae outbreak.
And Dr. Slavin, when you're talking about the symptoms that people might exhibit after being exposed to this algae, the truth of the matter is these microorganisms may very well find a happy home within the mucous membranes, the warm, moist areas of your body, and your immune system be overwhelmed. And we don't know, far beyond the symptoms that you just mentioned, what is the potential danger in the long term for these microorganisms to possibly proliferate. And like we talk about the UVLRX all the time with infectious organisms, here is a situation where literally antibiotics are not necessarily of any value because it isn't bacteria alone. There's bacteria involved, but it isn't bacteria alone. And these infections may fester for a very, very long time within the body. And the immune system is unable, because of the overwhelming proliferation of these microorganisms, the immune system isn't able to overcome this infection.
Well, earlier this year, it was reported that the presence of biosolids, this is the sewage waste, so these biosolids are present in livestock grazing pastures, and that has the potential to cause health problems in humans. And the reason for that is these chemicals are persistent in the environment. They'll be persistent in the animals who are grazing on it. And and they don't even know what the full consequence of the exposure to all these toxic chemicals are. So now it becomes important to find out, if you're buying food or meat or from animals grazing in that area, I think you need to be concerned about that. And nobody is alerting the consumer that perhaps, you know, produce from these areas or, you know, beef or anything has potential health problems. And I hear music, which means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced medical testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy. Stay healthy. With the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332. Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN. How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Jen, I'm going to change topics now and talk about someone we did a free consultation with yesterday because of all the aches and pains she had. And she also mentioned her creatine kinase was elevated, which is a sign of muscle breakdown. And then going through her medical history, it turns out she'd been on a statin drug, and of course we know that statin drugs increase your risk of liver damage, muscle breakdown, and you really need to be monitored closely when you're on these drugs. But here's what we determined as well, that the doctor also put her on Norvasc. So she's taking Norvasc and simvastatin. So you got a statin drug and you've got Norvasc. And the doctors are not checking drug interactions, apparently. You know, they're just very cavalier about writing all these prescriptions. So it's really up to the patient then. And you can Google it. It's very easy. You just put in Norvasc and simvastatin or any statin drug, and what you'll find is that combination of Norvasc and simvastatin, the Norvasc will increase the blood levels of simvastatin that is going to markedly increase the risk of side effects. So here you have a doctor, and the problem is it may not have been the same doctor prescribing the drugs. One doctor might have prescribed the Norvasc, another doctor might have prescribed the statin. And here's the problem, too. You would think the pharmacy would pick up on it at least. But because of the way insurance is being conducted now, sometimes you get it on, you buy insurance online or you go to a different pharmacy for different drugs. So there's nobody really looking over the potential problems of drug interactions. And so this patient was getting that drug interaction. And and taking a combination that should not have ever been prescribed, and because that's in the medical literature. You don't use that combination. It's contraindicated. But here's what I find also in talking to them, when it was another person said that when he was developing some aches and pains from one statin drug, the doctor says, well, let's just put you on a different statin drug. That's not how it should be done. If you are suspecting adverse reactions from a statin drug, you stop all the statin drugs until the symptoms clear up. You know, replacing one with the other doesn't make any sense. Then you might want to start a different statin. But in my opinion, there's absolutely no indication, except one maybe, for the use of statin drugs. So so here's a perfect example of an iatrogenic problem created because of the improper combination of two drugs.
That improper combination of simvastatin with Norvasc, the generic being amlodipine, it is significant increase in the blood levels of the simvastatin and contributing to liver damage, certainly that muscle breakdown, rhabdomyolysis, and for sure, in addition to liver damage, when that muscle breakdown begins to happen, then kidney damage begins, and the combination is so serious it may ultimately kill the patient.
Yeah, and the doctors, like I said, you know, they're not checking for these interactions. Maybe they're relying on the pharmacy to pick it up. But they have the responsibility. When they write that prescription, you know, they better know all the consequences of it. And they need to know all the drugs the patients are taking, even from other doctors. It's important to know. So, but
Dr. Slavin, simvastatin reacts with hundreds of other drugs. Norvasc reacts with hundreds of other drugs. And you think about the number of patients out there who are taking that combination. Maybe those patients might not necessarily even understand that they can't have grapefruit juice. They can't have some of the other foods that are going to interact with those two drugs. So the combination truly has the potential to be deadly.
And here's what's even worse. So the patient said to me that she's been to, I don't know, 10, 15 doctors because of these problems. None of them said, you know, at least stop the, well, she already stopped the statin. I said stop the Norvasc 2, but all they're doing is just giving her the drugs to treat the symptoms of all these conditions she's experiencing. You know, it's really, you know, this is what's frustrating about how what's happened with healthcare. It's just throwing drugs at people instead of understanding their problem. And let's just talk about cholesterol a little bit and understand, if cholesterol was so bad for us, why do we even have it in our bodies? You know, we didn't evolve over millions of years to have dangerous substances in our body. And the answer is, the body requires cholesterol. Every hormone in your body, including vitamin D, originates from cholesterol. And the other thing you have to know is, you know, they tell you, you know, cut out the cholesterol, don't eat the fat. 80% of the cholesterol in your body is made in your body. It's not coming from your diet. So, and then what the, they've only focused on lowering cholesterol because they could sell drugs to do it. And those drugs have been on the market now probably over 20 years. And if they were going to do such a great job in reducing the death rate from heart disease, I think by now you would have seen that happen, but it hasn't. So,
one of the things that I think is worth noting here, when you do the research with regard to the combination of cholesterol-lowering drugs, blood pressure-lowering drugs, the potential for a major negative interaction is there. And unfortunately, the way our medical industry is working these days, many doctors do not have the time to properly evaluate a combination of drugs. And, you know, yesterday we talked to Dr. Slavin about people over the age of 80 being on over 14 different drugs. There's no way that an 80-year-old, 80-plus-year-old metabolism could handle that combination of chemicals. And then, you know, just take into consideration possibly the use of certain types of foods that are going to have artificial colors, preservatives, different ingredients in them. So that chemical soup is very much at the forefront of a lot of illness that older people experience. And unfortunately, the doctors are not going to have time to evaluate those interactions, and so it's up to the patient to understand what they're consuming on a routine basis. Even the pharmacist may be dealing with a very busy day, and even though they know you very well and they understand the whole list of different prescription medications that you might be taking, they might not necessarily be able at that time to give you the kind of information about side effect symptoms that you might be experiencing and that are literally a red flag for you, letting you know that this combination is not a health-supporting combination.
And Janet, that person I was talking about that had some questions about her symptoms, and it turned out, you know, she had that drug interaction. She was also diabetic, and statins increase the risk of diabetes. So if you're, and if you already have diabetes, it's certainly not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. But here's what you have to know. Recent research has again confirmed that high cholesterol is not linked with heart disease in the elderly. So this has prompted researchers to conclude that reducing cholesterol levels with statin drugs is a waste of time. However, and the problem is that the statin drugs have serious potential side effects. So it's, you know, you're not just wasting your money on a drug, you're risking your health with that drug. So the researchers looked at 70,000 people, and they looked at their LDL cholesterol and premature death in those over the age of 60. And what they found, contrary to what everybody thinks, they found that 92% of people with high cholesterol levels actually lived longer than those who kept their levels at or below normal. So they concluded the results were inconsistent with the cholesterol hypothesis. And that hypothesis is, you know, that if you lower a cholesterol, you're going to promote health and live longer. And yet, doctors are still prescribing statins, one of the most commonly prescribed drugs.
So, well, Dr. Slavin, it seems as though the statin prescriptions are a very big moneymaker for the pharmaceutical companies producing them. And very important for people who are being told by their physicians that their cholesterol is high and they must take a drug. You know, one of the things that you were mentioning with regard to LDL cholesterol, what I talk to people about is LDL cholesterol would tend to be high when inflammation in your blood vessels is high, and that inflammation potentially has very far-reaching negative consequences. So the focus of your efforts, in my opinion, would be working on your blood chemistry. One of the best ways to achieve a beneficial change in your blood chemistry would be things like chlorophyll, chlorella, spirulina, and changing your diet that would eliminate grains. In general, those grains are going to be inflammatory to your body chemistry, and so getting rid of grains or significantly reducing the amount of grains that you have on a regular basis, making sure that sugar and artificial sweeteners are eliminated from your diet, increase your water intake. That's very, very important. Then to think about healing oils, a variety of different source oils, and for people following a vegan lifestyle out there, there are algae source oils that would help to reduce inflammation. Olive oil, almond oil, grapeseed oil, all of those can be very helpful at reducing inflammatory processes in your blood. And then things like omega-3 from fish, and that would be focusing on the EPA, of the omega-3 profile, EPA and DHA. You want higher EPA, once again, to help with reducing inflammation. You might consider going, if your LDL is very, very high, you might consider going on a fast that's very high in vegetables and very, very low in fruit content. So those are some of the suggestions. If someone's been told that their LDL cholesterol is very high.
All right, Janet, and that music means it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Timorelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about the dangers of taking statin drugs. But why would you want to lower cholesterol when that's not even the cause of heart disease? And so if that's not the cause, even though that's what your doctors have been telling you, you must lower the cholesterol. What's interesting is that the number of heart attacks and strokes began to rise dramatically in the 1950s, and this occurred after research was published blaming heart disease on saturated fat. So what did people do? They cut back on the saturated fat, and when you do that, naturally you increase your carbohydrate intake. And that just accelerated the problem and magnified it. We're still seeing the effects of that today. So the real approach has to be, if you want to lower your cholesterol and your triglycerides, you cut back on the carbohydrates. The other things that must be done if you're really interested in reducing your risk of heart disease is have regular exercise, quit smoking, because the all those chemicals in the smoke is not just bad for your lungs, it's bad for your heart. And get your weight under control. So to artificially lower cholesterol because your diet is off and risk all the side effects of statins, we mentioned the muscle breakdown and diabetes and liver disease. It's going to affect your heart, reduce your heart function. It's been associated with memory problems. You know, we've talked about the fear of dementia. Well, statin drugs is just another cause of dementia. So, there are so many side effects of statin drugs when it's a class of drug that, for the most part, is totally unnecessary. And yet, doctors continue to prescribe it, and I encourage you to, do your own research on it. Probably, if you were to Google, I'm going to do this right now, are statin drugs necessary? And then you're going to find a lot of mainstream articles about it. But here's something from the FDA. It says here, the headline, FDA expands advice on statin risks. And this is from a year ago. It says the FDA is advising consumers and healthcare professionals that routine monitoring of liver enzymes in the blood, once considered standard procedure for statin users, is no longer needed. I think that's a mistake, because you want to catch a problem before it causes symptoms. So before you have symptoms, you're going to see a rise in those liver enzymes. Then it says brain-related impairment, in other words, memory problems. Forgetfulness, confusion has been reported by some statin users. People being treated with statins may have an increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And certain statins, like lovastatin, which is Mevacor, can increase the risk of muscle damage. And they say the FDA will be changing the drug label of popular statin products to reflect these new concerns. And there are a lot of statins out there. You know, if one is good, then all the drug companies come up with their own. Even the FDA, which is mainstream medicine, is acknowledging all the risks associated with statins. Now, if the benefits outweighed the risks, then you would say, okay, I'll take my chances. But the benefits clearly don't outweigh the risk if it's not going to reduce your risk of dying from heart disease. So there was another report here. And there are a lot of them. Statins save, here's the myth. Statins save lives in healthy people without heart disease. You know, and that's what they're doing. They're giving statins to pretty much perfectly healthy people. So they're just increasing the risk of those problems. So, I just recommend you do your own research on it and see what's being written about statins. Here's an interesting fact. Statins were analyzed to see what happens with regard to with to see what happens to people with no known heart disease. In other words, the patient doesn't have any heart disease, but they just have elevated cholesterol. 98% saw no benefit. They say 1.6% were helped by preventing a heart attack. I don't know how you can prove prevention. Then they say 0.4% were helped by preventing a stroke. 1.5% were harmed because they developed diabetes. And 10% were harmed because of muscle damage. So more people were harmed by taking statins than were helped. So you have to really pay attention if your doctor's prescribing statins. Janet, I know with the patients I see, either they've refused statins by their doctors or they don't ever want to take a statin, and we don't prescribe statins. And I bet you're seeing the same thing from the people you see.
The whole picture of taking statins, I tend to see the people, Dr. Slavin, who are experiencing all manner of discomfort. They might be dealing with that muscle and joint pain. That's very common. But the other things that I hear when people who are using statin drugs, the fatigue. Some people tend to experience nausea and digestive problems. And again, when you think about you're interfering with liver function, it's very understandable that there would be inflammation, that there would be certain discomfort in the digestive tract. And one of the things that doesn't necessarily become apparent immediately is the potential damage to your brain chemistry that is very much part of using a statin drug. That statin is interfering with the fat metabolism in your body. Your brain is primarily fatty tissue, and consequently it is an established bit of information that brain chemistry is interfered with. Then let's talk about how your immune system responds. When you are disrupting the liver function and you are creating inflammation, again, your immune system literally is under assault.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the mindset of the medical establishment in recommending lowering cholesterol by taking a statin, because that's going to reduce your risk of a heart attack. So, I mean, on the surface, you can see that, well, okay, they get to sell a drug. I mean, that you can understand. Most healthcare, the way it's practiced in this country, is selling drugs. But they're not promoting and emphasizing the fact that you can get better results with regard to your cholesterol levels and with regard to your risk factors for heart disease if you would just pay more attention to what you're eating. That's not emphasized at all. And the thinking there is, they say, well, we can tell the patient till we're blue in the face how important it is to change their diet, but we know they're not going to do that, so just take a drug and lower your cholesterol. So the unfortunate thing, as we pointed out, that lowering cholesterol does not equate with lowering your risk of heart disease. Cholesterol is put there as the body's way of protecting the injured lining of those blood vessels. And until you address why those blood vessels are being injured, you'll just keep having cholesterol deposited there. And there are several factors involved. I think initially, we talked about the weakness of blood vessels brought on by vitamin C deficiencies. You know, if you're not being checked for vitamin C, you're probably deficient without even knowing it. So vitamin C helps the body make collagen, which is what adds strength to the blood vessels. and then you injure the blood vessel, the cholesterol is put down to protect it, and then because you have turbulent blood flow over this plaque, that increases the risk of bacteria and other infectious agents getting involved in that plaque, and now you have a serious problem that just perpetuates itself. And I hear some music, which means it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
If you're looking for an easy-to-use probiotic, a probiotic that covers all of the needs for your colon chemistry, look no further than Janabiotic. You'll find the comprehensive spectrum of beneficial microflora to support your overall good health. One or two capsules every day gives your body the necessary probiotic profile. The profile of ingredients with the beneficial effects for mood, immunity, and absorption of nutrients. Find out more at Janazon.com.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex test and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janabiotic is a way to support your immune system, as well as enhance the function of your digestive tract and help to maintain regularity. One or two capsules per day provide the basic chemistry needed for healthy gastrointestinal function. Support your good health with the profile of probiotic ingredients in Janabiotic. Find out about Janabiotic at Janazon.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Jen, I just want to give people a heads up. I think a week from tomorrow, we're having a seminar here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine to bring you up to date on the latest in ways that you can keep yourself healthy. And we're going to have a special price for an infectious disease panel. If you've been listening, you know that so many subclinical illnesses are found in our bodies that increase our risk of developing all kinds of problems, including heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, just to name a few. So we'll talk about that and pass along the information. And we'll go over a little bit again about energy medicine and how effective energy medicine is in keeping people healthy. It's not just about treating problems. So that's July 16th at 10 a.m. And we'll be reminding everybody next week so you can call in and reserve a spot. Jana, what were you going to talk about next week?
I haven't decided. I'm going to see how things progress over the week. And most of the time, how I will make a presentation, it kind of depends on what are hot topics over the prior week. The other thing that I wanted to say, Dr. Slavin, is the number to call if people are interested in coming, just to let us know at the Institute of Advanced Medicine that you want to join us on Saturday the 16th at 10 a.m. The number to call, 954-748-4991. 954-748-4991. In general, I probably will be talking about the oral nutrients that people need to be very aware of and how you can actually test those nutrients and the presence and functionality within your body, as well as the importance of sleep. And I'll be giving some information about sleep benefits and how it overall supports your good health.
Okay, and I was just looking at a report that addressed the concern that some women have who were tested to see if they had a genetic predisposition for breast cancer. And those women would be the ones that have had the close family members with breast cancer, and so they would be tested. And they might find that they also had a genetic predisposition for breast cancer. But the headline is, healthy lifestyle can reduce breast cancer risk even in women who are genetically predisposed, because the alternative option that is being promoted to those women is to do a prophylactic mastectomy bilaterally. And instead of taking responsibility for your lifestyle and just trying to reduce your risks, they just say, well, just remove the breast, you won't get breast cancer. If that was so, just think about this for a second. How many women have had mastectomies and then experienced a recurrence of breast cancer? Just a thought. Janet, what's your opinion on that?
Okay. Simply removing part of the body does not necessarily address the fact that your body's immune system has found it impossible to overcome the proliferation of malignant cells. And simply put, what happens is those malignant cells move on to another vulnerable area of the body. And it could be liver, it could be lungs, it could be blood. Any one of those sites are certainly vulnerable to the proliferation of malignant cells. You remove the initial location, and very often after that surgery, the doctors come out and tell the patient's loved ones who may be waiting for information after the surgery, we got it all. And I always scratched my head about that statement. Cancer cells are microscopic in size. There's no way for a surgeon to be able to say, we got it all. Certainly, excising tissue runs the risk of literally liberating certain cells. Those cells get into the bloodstream and circulate until they find tissue that is vulnerable. And one of the things that's important to understand is an acidic body chemistry is much more supportive of the longevity of those cancer cells, as well as the ability of those cancer cells to attach to vulnerable tissue and to begin proliferating. Then when you take into consideration that surgery has been at the forefront of the approach to overcome breast cancer, but attention to hormone balance is disregarded from the viewpoint that you don't eliminate a hormone, you balance hormones. That's how our bodies work. And so using the drugs that are totally suppressive of estrogen doesn't necessarily assure a long-term recovery. Certainly the recommendation for some of those drugs that suppress estrogen production are recommended for about 5 years. And we talk often, Dr. Slavin, about what is the definition of a cure, and the cure is the reduction in size of a tumor. So yes, you've eliminated the tumor, you've surgically removed it, but the other is 5 years without cancer. And so here's the estrogen suppressing drug doing that 5-year period, But what do we do after those 5 years? And my statement is support balance. And it's very important as well for people to understand that there are different forms of estrogen. Some of those estrogen forms need to be supported and the negative form suppressed or at least kept in balance. And you categorized vitamin D earlier in the show, Dr. Slavin, almost as a hormone, and it plays a critically important role with regard to supporting your hormones function as well as supporting your immune system.
And you know, I was just scrolling through the internet because I Googled, does prophylactic mastectomy prevent breast cancer? And you almost can't find an answer for that. And you would have think they would have done a study to see if it was a worthwhile therapeutic choice for women like Angelina Jolie did. But they don't have any studies. They don't have any statistics on that, whether it really does reduce your risk. However, I can understand the psychological component for a woman. If they know that many family members had breast cancer or died from it and they have the gene and they're really worried about it, they need to do it for their own peace of mind. You can see that, though, right, Janet?
Well, to a certain extent. However, they're relying on faulty information to come to that decision. And as you were saying that,
I went through the phrase that I say over and over,
diet and lifestyle trumps genetic background time after time.
And the last thing is, when you search the internet to find this information, you know, for the first six pages I've looked through, it's all special interest groups that have a vested interest in the status quo, in that recommending traditional cancer therapies and surgery and mastectomy. You know, they're all in there. The same thing is being done to men when they see an elevated PSA. You know, you have the surgery or have the chemotherapy, even though studies have shown statistically that approach doesn't work, just like they've shown that yearly mammograms don't save lives from breast cancer, despite what you're always being told. And we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank all our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.